Thanks, Mark, and thanks, everybody, for having me here and coming out to hear me. I really want to talk to you this morning about hope. And just a capital H, capital O, capital P, capital E, hope. And I know you don't want to hear about heartache today. We all have enough of that, but you want to hear about hope, and I do too. And so I want to just give you a little update about how we're doing and then share three stories with you about how God has given me hope over the last year to encourage you that he'll give you hope and that you can pass it on to others. And I'm just going to talk about a ring and an apple and three emails in those stories. So I'm just glad that you're here, and really, you know, thanks so much for your prayers for us. And, you know, it's really by God's grace and by your prayers that I'm able to stand here at all. After the last year and a half, 2 years that we've been through with Lana getting breast cancer and then passing away last November, almost a year ago now, November 15th. And it's been a really hard year, but really your prayers have carried us through, and it's just been very apparent to me, the power of prayer and just what you guys have done for us, and I just want to say thanks so much for that. If you want to open your Bibles, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 4. And I'm going to read to you from the Message version of the Bible, so it may not follow yours hardly at all, but the essence is still there in whatever version you have. This is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible, but it brought it to life to me in a new way as I read it, and I hope it does for you too. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 18. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you. It started when God said, "Light up the darkness," and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. We're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, "I believed it, so I said it," we say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to open your word and to hear your goodness as spoken through Paul so many years ago. And God, I pray, as spoken through me today. Lord, speak to us about your hope for us. Help us to keep putting our faith in Jesus, the great hope, and who gives us the hope that we will live an abundant life here on earth and with him forever in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks. All right, I'm already crying and I haven't even gotten 5 minutes into it. Is there a Kleenex here I could have too? Someone has one. Oh, I see one there. I'll grab it. But God has given us great hope. And a few months ago, I feel like we really turned a corner. I did, at least. And I know it's made such a difference to me to turn that corner. I was able to drive Makari back out to California. She's our third oldest, and she's going to school out at Bethel there and get her settled back into school. And then I flew back home here and got the kids. I've got three younger kids here that I homeschool, that Lana had done for all their lives. And so we wanted to continue that, and she wanted me to continue that if I could. And so got through all the ordering their curriculum and getting them all set up, and they're actually doing really well at that. And so I'm glad that some of them are even ahead quite a bit. So I'm thankful for that. And then our two oldest, Karis, is in Bloomington. She'll be finishing her degree this December in biblical studies at Liberty Online University out of Virginia. And she's down there this weekend in Virginia visiting the campus and some friends down there. And so she'll be done in December. And then Lucas, our second oldest, is finishing his degree, a 3-year program in Sydney, Australia at Hillsong College with a degree in worship and leadership. And so I'm going over there in a few weeks to celebrate his graduation, and then he'll be coming home for Christmas and staying with us from then on out. So that's a little update on us and our ministry. We've just in the last couple of weeks relaunched theranch.org as our website, which I've run for 15 years now. And it crashed on the day of Lana's funeral, and the whole server and all the computers we run that on to reach 40,000 people that sign up for our daily emails in 160 countries, and all that came crashing down when I stood up to preach her funeral. And so I've just taken the last many months to really rebuild that, rethink that, and see what that's going to look like for the next season of our life and ministry. And I was really happy a few weeks ago to turn it on again in a new way and to bring up all the things that were on there, all the books and CDs and all the music we've put on there and messages and testimonies over the last 15 years and update them all and get them in a format so that people can listen to them on all kinds of devices and players. And it's all out there for free, all the books that we've written and all the CDs and all the music. You can listen to it anytime. But I've brought some things with me too. If you just like to have a Bible study in your hand and you want it, I've brought some of those, so you can have those at the resource table. Some of my piano music, as well as my sister's and some other people you may know. And also on the table, there's a copy of Lana's funeral service that I've had several people tell me was just one of the most precious events they've ever been to of any kind, let alone a funeral service. And even one couple wrote me and said they've made this required watching for another couple they counsel, just to see what God can do in a life. And it's really true. So God has really redeemed us, restored us, given us such a life and hope. I wouldn't normally recommend you watch a funeral service, but if you want that, there's a copy out there. You can watch it online for free too, but just if you want a copy. So that's our update on our personal lives and our ministry. And now I just want to give you three stories of hope that God has given to me just over the past year. And I'm just picking a couple nuggets. God has just been so gracious to us, and he just walks us through so many things. But these are just three, just to focus your attention on his goodness. The first one has to do with a ring. And Lana, several years ago, she had lost her wedding ring one day. And we were living down in Texas. She got up and was going around the day doing her things, and she realized her ring was missing off her finger. And she never went around without it, and so she was really surprised by it, and she was just disturbed that her ring was missing. And so we started looking all over the house, and we looked by the kitchen sink where she does dishes, and we looked in the bathroom where she might have taken it off. We just tried to look everywhere we could, and we couldn't find it all day. Anyway, by the end of the day, we were going back to bed, and she happened to think and remember, and she looked under the bed, and there was the ring on the floor. And she said, "You know, I remember waking up this morning and hearing this clink, clink, clink." And I said, well, that would have been good information to know as we were searching all day for your ring. And she said, at night when she puts her hand under her pillow, she'll sometimes play with her ring and spin it around and take it on and off. And it must have fallen off while she was sleeping and then fallen on the ground, but she didn't realize what it was. So that was sort of our joke over the years between us. Whenever something would be missing, we said, did you hear anything go clink, clink, clink? So a few months ago, I'm sitting with a couple at our dining room table, and I wear my wedding ring all the time, and as the years have gone on and I've increased in size, it's very hard to get it off. And so it's always on me. And I look down at my hand while I'm sitting with this couple, and I notice my ring is not on my hand. And I panicked. I'm like, where is my ring? And I felt naked, and I just felt embarrassed in front of this couple. I thought, you know, I've worn this ring all my life, and what are they going to think? And are they going to think I want to go dating or something? You know, I don't. I just, you know, all those thoughts go through my mind, and I'm like, where could my ring be? And then I remembered, earlier this year, I decided to lose some weight because I'm a stress eater. So when I get stressed, I eat. And so by January of this year, I was bigger than I'd ever been in my life. And I knew that I needed to stay healthy. And I said, you know, I've got to work on this. But I just didn't have the fortitude to do it until later on in the year. And as the year went on, I said, okay, I'm going to lose some weight. So I'd been losing weight and losing weight. And finally, the night before I was sitting with this couple, I was just seeing, and I was like, wow, my ring just comes right off and back on. And so I'm sitting there in bed, and I must have fallen asleep. And then as I'm sitting there at the table with them, I thought, you know what? I do remember hearing this clunk, clunk, clunk on the ground. And I went up after I talked to them, and I went upstairs, and there was my ring on the floor. And I remember flipping the sheets up, and I heard this little noise, but it didn't sound like a pen. It didn't sound like anything familiar at all. It was a totally different weight. Of course, I never dropped my ring on the ground, so I had no idea what it was. And so it fell on the ground, and I just smiled, and I just looked to heaven. I was like, okay, you know, I understand now how you could overlook that clunk, clunk, clunk. And it was just a little time to smile with Lana. And I knew at some point I was going to have to take the ring off. And I was dreading that day. And I had read other people, and I didn't know what to do because I'm like, well, I don't know if I should leave it on. It's till death do you part, and she's dead. And do I have to take it off now, or do I keep it on, or I don't know what to do. And so I watched some videos of some other guys that were about my age, and I think it's different at different ages, but for me, I just realized, yeah, there's probably going to come a day that I probably need to take it off. But it had been very hard for me, and I'd been through Grief Share and some other books I'd read, and, you know, just trying to work through my grief and process all that. And so I would keep making progress each week and say, okay, you know, I'm going to go through her drawers and, you know, take care of some of the clothes, and I'm going to go through her closet, and I'm going to go through a few things. And each of those processes was just hard to do. But I knew that I needed to do them at some point, and so I would just do them, and part of me just wanted to get through it. And at the same time, I don't want to rush through grief, but you also sort of want it behind you. And so I felt this way with my ring, and I was just sort of dreading the day. I'm like, when would I ever actually want to take it off? Never. And I thought, well, today's as good a day as any. And I can look back on it with fondness and a smile with Lana rather than with sadness. And so I'm just going to leave it off. And so I just left it off. And I just tell you that story just to say that, you know, God gives us those little gracious things every once in a while, things that we dread happening. And what are we going to do? And then he gives us a little smile with it and says, it's going to be okay. And I just read a quote that struck me that I thought was very appropriate for this as well. This is from an unidentified person, but in one of the books I read on grief, it says, it has taken me many months to get to the point where I can say, all right, the future is not going to be what you thought it was. It's gone, and you're not going to have it. You just will not have it. Your future went with him. Now you've got to build a new one. And I sort of hated reading those words, but at the same time, I knew they were true. Your future is not going to be what you thought it was. It's gone. You're just not going to have it. Your future went with him. You've got to build a new one. And so I took that as encouragement to just say, all right, this isn't what I planned. And many of you know what this is like in your own life. You've reached those points where you say, this isn't the direction I thought it was going to take. And at some point, you just have to let it go and say, it's not going to happen. She's not coming back. And she's not. And as much as I hate that, I know that God still has a future for me. And I'm just reminded of the verse, just to keep fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. So my goal is just to keep going forward and just say, God, I'm going to keep fixing my eyes on you. And I'm also thankful that I can look back on my wedding ring and say with fondness, I'm so glad I had those 23 years together. And now I'm entering a new season of life. Still doesn't mean I'm interested in a new relationship or anything like that, but I'm just acknowledging and recognizing it's not going to be the way it was, and God's going to work it out. Second story I want to tell you today has to do with an apple. And there's a quote that I read that I thought was profound and beautiful. It says, "The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago." The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is today. The second best time to plant a tree is today. And I thought of this this spring as I looked around our yard, and I realized that there was one pine tree that Lana and I had planted 19 Christmases ago, almost 20 years ago now. And now it's one of the largest trees in our yard. And we had taken this tree, it was in a root ball at the nursery, and we brought it in our house for a few days at Christmas, and then we took it outside after Christmas was done, and we planted it out at my dad's farm at the time, which we didn't know we were going to be eventually living at. And we just planted it out there. And that tree has grown and grown and grown. And now it's one of the tallest that we have. And I've taken this quote to heart over the years, and every year we plant a few more trees, and a few more trees, and a few more trees. And we don't have a forest by any means, but I do have more trees than I would have had otherwise, had I not stopped and just said, okay, I'm going to stop at Big R and pick up a tree, and we'll put it in the ground. And one of those trees that Lana and I and the kids planted several years ago was this apple tree. And this year has been an abundant harvest for apples. And I was amazed this year, for the first time, it produced fruit. And this is one of those apples off of that tree. And not only that apple tree, but another apple tree, a yellow apple tree, and not only that apple tree, but a cherry tree that we had planted several years ago, and for the first time was producing fruit, and not only that cherry tree, but a little peach tree, and not only that, but another apple tree we just planted last year had little apples on it. Not only that, we had a plum tree that produced two little plums for the first time ever. All these trees started bearing fruit just this year. And part of me could be really sad and say, wow, how could Lana have missed all of that fruit? But the other part of me says, I am so glad that we just kept planting and planting and planting. Because the Bible says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And even though Lana's gone this year, we're enjoying the fruit of all that she invested in. And picking up an apple tree from Big R is hardly a big deal. But the fruit that she invested in my life and six kids' lives, and your lives, and many other people's lives, and the house, and our home, and the various writings, and the speaking that she did. And those things are bearing fruit now in ways that are amazing. And I looked around the yard and just couldn't believe all these fruit trees bearing fruit, and in a way, bearing Lana's name along with it. And so the kids and I, yesterday, I know this is a smaller congregation, and a perfect size to just do something special for you guys. And so the kids and I, we made some apple pies yesterday from that tree. And today you get to enjoy some of that fruit if you want a piece of apple pie from a tree that Lana planted. Just both as a reminder and also as a thank you to you for your prayers and your kindness to us. And the kids did a wonderful job. They're beautiful apple pies too. And those are the first we've made this year. And they'll be the last. I think it's going to freeze this week. But We picked all the apples off the tree, off of that one tree, and made some pies for you out of that. I just want to encourage you, keep planting. Not all the trees we planted took root. You know, some of them died. In fact, several of them have died. Not everything we do in life takes root either. And, of course, Jesus spoke very clearly about this in He said some seed is going to fall on rocky ground and it won't be able to take root. Some seed falls on the path and it gets trampled. Some seed, it gets choked out by the weeds around it. But there's some seed that falls on good soil, and that will bear fruit. And when it does, it will be an abundant harvest. So not everything we plant bears fruit. But I just want to encourage you, keep planting and keep planting and keep planting. Because at the proper time, you will reap a harvest too, if you do not give up. I had a friend who, it seemed like everything he touched turned to gold. He was a great businessman, and he was a great missionary supporter, and he would use all the proceeds to help support mission work around the world. And people would just say, wow, everything you touch turns to gold, doesn't it? And his response was, no, but I do touch a lot of things. And so when those things that do bear fruit come to fruition, they bear a lot of fruit. And sometimes we just need to plant a lot of seed. And I want to encourage you, keep planting. Keep watering. Don't give up. It will bear fruit. Third story I want to share with you this morning is three emails. And if you aren't on our newsletter list, I'll just catch you up on some of these stories. If you are on our newsletter list, you'll know some of these, and I just want to give you a little update this week on some of them. But if you want to sign up, you just go to theranch.org, and you can just sign up there and put your email address in, and we'll be glad to send you every day a little Christian quotation from some Christian author, a Bible verse, sometimes a little smile to brighten your day. And then on the weekends, I usually write a message, or we have guest writers write when I'm not writing. So we're glad to do that. So if you just want to go and sign up for those, you can. But the first email I want to share with you is from a woman that was Jewish. And you may have heard me share some of this in the past about her. She wrote me about three years ago. And she had come to the Ranch website by accident. Someone happened to forward an email to her from us, and they were sending it to a coworker of hers, and she got it by mistake, and she started reading the stories about Jesus on our website and just started crying and wrote to me and said, I can't believe these stories could be true. I was always told that Jesus isn't for my people. And she's ended her email, is it possible that Jesus could love a Jew? And so I wrote her back and told her, you know, actually he was a Jew, and the 12 disciples were Jews, and most of the Bible was written by Jews. And yes, yes, he loves you, and he does care about you too. And she started reading a Bible that a coworker had also given her, called the Complete Bible, which is the Old Testament and the New Testament, of course, but written by a Jewish rabbi with some of the Jewish terminology. And so it was something that she was really interested in reading. She read it. And this last May, she wrote me back. So this is 3 years later. And she says, Dear Eric, I don't know if you remember me or not, but I'm feeling led to tell you what's happened since we first communicated. I wrote you about 3 years ago about completely believing in the God of my ancestors, but not so sure about the Christians claiming that Jesus was the Messiah we've longed for all these millennium. Someone accidentally forwarded me one of your daily thoughts, and I couldn't get it out of my head. In the time that's moved on for both of us, I've learned that I can believe Jesus is the Messiah. He truly is the Son of God. I'm amazed at how much the Tanakh is in the New Testament and how they complement each other. I was telling a friend at lunch today, when I'm quiet, I can hear God speaking in my innermost being. I see him working in my life in ways I never could have imagined. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. I truly believe the email that was sent to me by mistake was a divine appointment. Thanks for the ministry and commitment to the Lord. You truly have touched lives and made a difference. I am living proof. Last weekend we had a night of worship at our farm. We called it a night of worship at the ranch. It's something we want to do every year, so we called it our first annual ranch retreat. I'd like to do it as a 3-day retreat in the future, but I could only pull off one night I thought was enough for this year. And to my surprise, this woman showed up from Dallas, Texas, and said hi to me in the garage as we were getting some food at the table. And she introduced herself, and I didn't recognize her name because I only had a very shortened, different version on the email of her name. And she told me what her name was, and I asked her where she was from. And when she told me who she actually was, I just couldn't believe it. Here was someone in real life who was touched by the power of gospel from something we had written years ago, and she happened to run across 3 years ago. and a Jewish woman at that, which, if you know anything about reaching Jews, it's very difficult to help them to believe that Jesus is the one who said that he would bring peace to the world, because they look around and say, where's the peace? And they don't realize the peace is in your heart. And that's what this woman found. And it was so wonderful. And she just made my day to see her there and to know that God was still touching lives, even from things we did years ago. I tell you that again. Keep investing in people's lives. I know so many of you have invested in my own kids' lives, right here in this building, in Awana, in the things that you've taught them, and learning how to play Foursquare, and as well as scripture verses, and eating great pies and desserts here in this building. And their lives are impacted and changed and different because of that. And I just can testify and just say to you, thank you, that what you've done and what you've invested in has borne fruit. And thanks so much for that. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't become weary in doing good. At the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. The next of these three emails I want to share with you came in a couple weeks ago, just before we launched the ranch website. I really felt this year that even though we put a lot of our resources out on the ranch website for free over the years, we've never really made them all fully accessible, just because the technology has changed and it's just a lot of work to get it all in the right formats for all the different things. But I felt earlier this year that I should really focus on putting everything out there. We have about a dozen books and a dozen CDs that we've produced, and several videos and many hours actually of videos that you can watch on the website, and testimonies. And so all year I've been focusing on getting that all up and ready and putting it out there for free. And part of me wonders, I think, oh, am I shooting myself in the foot? Shouldn't I continue to pursue a publisher or pursue a record label or, you know, something to promote all these things and get them out there more? And, you know, our finances is all totally donation-based. And so if people donate, that's great. And if they don't, that's okay. But it makes us struggle. And so I thought, God, am I doing something wrong here? And should I really be doing this? But I kept thinking of the verse in Matthew that says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Talking about, you know, instead of running after what we're going to eat or drink or wear, we can just really trust God, and as long as we're seeking his kingdom first. And so I just kept seeking his kingdom, and I, over the last couple months especially, it's gotten tighter and tighter, I will say, because I haven't been writing for 10 months. I haven't been able to raise support and do the things that I normally did to keep any funds, and particularly, you know, with three kids in college and all that we're going through, it was just getting tighter and tighter. And yet I kept feeling like I was supposed to do this. Well, one of the things I'd invested in over the years was just putting our music on as many places as we could. And so over the last couple years, especially, I've been putting it on Pandora and iTunes and CD Baby and Spotify and any place that we could put the music, just to get it out to as many people as possible. And amazingly, when someone listens to something like Pandora, people click on it, and you listen. You can create a little radio station, just type in the name Eric Elder on Pandora, and it pulls up one of my songs, and then it'll pull up a few other songs from other people that play the piano, then it'll go back to one of my songs. So you create your own little radio station. And every time someone listens, I get paid 0.00017 cents. So it takes a lot of listens before you can get to a full penny. You know, that's a lot of listens. And yet I started getting paid a couple years ago, a little bit at a time, you know, $10 every 3 months or so, and $20. And it's up to about $38 now I get every 3 months. And then I look at it and I realize that's 70,000 listens in that 3 month period. And I go, wow, God, that's pretty amazing. I've been wanting this music to go out. I mean, there's all kinds of music that profanes God's name. And here I've written music that glorifies his name. And I say, God, can you just get this out to people and help them, give them peace, give them some relaxation, give them some hope. And so he's doing that, and he's getting it out to people. And I'm so happy about that. And I've helped some other people get their music on as well. And one of the people that I helped, one of her songs is doing incredibly well. And I'm just shocked, as she's been getting, you know, several $1,000 every 3 months based on one song. So $2,000 every 3 months because of one song that just gets played over and over in Colors of the Wind from the movie Pocahontas. Must be popular for searches of all kinds. She's coming back to record some more Disney music for us. some nice, just inspirational, lifting up you music. But it was amazing to me. And so I get my statement by email every 3 months. And I see my email and it pops up and I look at it and, you know, I'm really happy. It says up here $38.08. And my sister get her check for, you know, $2,000. And I'm like, hallelujah, that's great. I'm so happy. But for some reason, a couple weeks ago, just as I had finished launching the ranch website and was just saying, you know, God, I don't know if I should do this or not, I get a second email. And I open it up, and it's for $14,305. And I say, God, there must be some mistake. I don't know what I did wrong. I didn't do it. I don't know what's wrong. I really didn't know what this was about. And it says, you're the owner of this music, and it turns out that they pay the artist 50% and they pay the record label, so to speak, 50%. And since I helped to record it, and since I've been putting it on all these platforms, they finally recognize that we are sort of their label for all of this music. And so I was supposed to be getting paid all this time for all of that. And so they're catching up and sending me a one-time check to catch up for the last several years of not being paid. And it came on the day that I had finally finished putting all my music up for free on the ranch and say, God, you have got to cover this. And he did. And he did. And I say, okay, God, I can keep going. Not just with this. And this also means that every 3 months I'm going to be getting paid her royalty as well, because it's split 50-50. And she's been getting what she deserves, and now I'm getting what I've invested in as well. And I say, God, that's amazing. I'll tell you a personal little side note with that too. Because many of you were such a blessing to us back when Lana died. And you may remember this story, but I had said a ridiculous prayer to God. Because the day that I got up to preach her funeral, we had $26 in the bank. And we had spent everything. We'd done everything we could to try to save her, and we were at zero, you know, 26, close to zero. And I had to stand up and preach and talk about how good God was. And I said, God, if I could do something for my kids, I would really wish that I could give them some inheritance from Lana. $26 divided by six kids is not going to go very far. And I said, of the gifts that come in, you know, God, if there could be even $1,000 for each kid, that would be great. But I've done enough funerals. I know that usually the money that comes in is enough just to pay for the funeral. And not much left over after that. So I knew that was maybe a long shot. But I said, God, if I really had what I wanted, I would really love to give each of the kids $5,000 as an inheritance from Lana. But times six kids, that would be $30,000. And it's just ridiculous, God. But as I woke up that morning, that's what I prayed. And 2 weeks later, we had $30,000. And I said, God, you could do anything, absolutely anything. And even though we prayed that Lana would not be taken, for some reason, whatever reason, you overruled. And I trust you with that, because what you say is best. But you're not always going to overrule my prayers. And sometimes you will answer to the T, to the penny, even our most lavish, ridiculous prayers. And so I put $5,000 in each of the kids' bank accounts. And throughout the year, they've had to use that. And they've been going to school and doing all the things they do. And I keep trying to fill it back up and fill it back up. But I just couldn't. And by the time I went to launch the ranch website, one of my kids had $97 left in their bank account. One had $150. And I didn't know where I was going to get any more to put in their accounts. And then this check came. And that night, I deposited it in my bank. It was direct deposited for me. I checked at 5 in the morning. There was $14,305. I split it up between all my kids' accounts. And I brought them all back up to their $5,000. Within $3.74. 10 months later, They all have exactly what they had 10 months ago. Overnight, in one email, my sister said, Lana always knew that it was all piled up there in heaven for us, and she knew somebody had to go get it. I do talk to her, and I think it's okay. But I know my help comes from God, and God alone. And you may not get a surprise check for $14,000. I never have. But you will get what you need when you need it. God will take care of you, and he will even answer your most ridiculous prayers. The third email I want to share with you just came this morning. It's actually here on my iPad. And this was from a friend that I knew back in school growing up. And as much as I've felt like God has healed me and helped me, I can tell you that every day still has its struggles. And a few weeks ago, when I felt like I needed to launch the ranch website and make it all public, I needed to do this ranch retreat. And some people also called, like Mark and a couple others, to ask if I would preach. And for the first time, I started accepting speaking engagements again. And so each one of those has been extremely hard to do. And yet, I just feel like I need to keep going on. So a few weeks ago, when I went to preach, I preached at Central across town. And it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and I had to get up and go preach at 3 services. And I'm putting on my suit, the same suit that I had preached Lana's funeral in. And I had 4 hours of sleep. I had gotten to bed at 2 in the morning. I was getting the kids up at 6, trying to get them ready to go and out the door. And I was wiped out. And I just said, God, I am never accepting another preaching again. This was the stupidest thing I ever said yes to. There's no way I'm going to even be able to stand up through it, let alone have anything coherent to say. And I just tell you that to say, I get these kind of doubts, and I wake up in the middle of the night with these kind of sweats, and I go, God, there is no possible way I can do this. I cannot go on. I cannot go one more day. And you're not here to hear about heartache, but I just want to identify you with you. If you feel those kind of things, if you say, I'm struggling to just get up in the morning, I hear you. I hear you. And yet, I had already said yes. They were already committed. There's no way they could bring somebody in with a couple hours to go and fill in 3 services. And I said, I've just got to keep going. So I just kept going and driving. And I got there and I stood up and I preached and I cried. Then I preached again and I cried again. Then I preached again and I cried again. And somehow through it all, God touched some people. And this morning I posted it on our website. I took an excerpt and I cut out as much of the crying as I could. And I put an excerpt on our website. And this morning I got an email from a missionary in another country, one of my friends from high school. And she not only wrote to me, but then she posted it again on her website. And she said, I'm begging you, please, this is to other people on Facebook, please take a short time out of your day to listen to this message from my dear friend Eric Elder. It will touch your heart and give you the tools that we need for life. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't have gone had I not had to go to preach that message. But it brings me back to this verse that I read for you before. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. And then he goes on to talk about all the things they're facing, and yet God is glorified through what they do. I just want to encourage you, God is glorified through what you do too. And maybe there are days you don't feel like getting up. You don't feel like going to work. You don't feel like going to a Bible study. You don't feel like leading a small group. You don't feel like preaching. You don't feel like teaching. You don't feel like whatever it is that you have to do. Can I just encourage you not to give up? Keep planting. Keep reaching. If you need time out, take the time out. But then get back up and go at it again. With God, there's always hope. He's given it to me this year, and I hope I've given a little bit to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you can use our weak clay pots of lives, our brokenness, Lord, to let streams of your light shine through it, Lord. I just praise you, God, that somehow you give us the strength to keep going. I thank you, Lord, for these people in this room and people that are listening to this maybe later, Lord, who have prayed for us and kept us going and held our arms up when we couldn't do it ourselves. Lord, I pray for each person here today that you would give them hope for a very specific situation in their lives. Lord, that thing that they're facing that they just struggle to find hope for, I pray that you would give them hope. I pray that you would kindle a new flame in them. I pray that you would encourage them to keep going on, keep pressing through, keep planting seeds. For at the proper time, I know that they will reap a harvest. And generations down the road, even when we're gone, will reap a harvest from what they plant now. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.